Welcome to Corazon Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast.
Welcome to the Digital Executive. Today's guest is Ian Wilding. Ian Wilding is the founder and managing partner at Hangar 75, one of the fastest growing venture factories in the U.S. focused on originating and executing ideas where there is a clear demand for acquisition from across their established corporate network. Ian has over 20 years of digital experience advising global corporations and startups on venture ideation and execution strategy. Ian is a former executive committee member of the UK Government Committee on Digital Financial Services Provision for Children, the founder of System Minds, a digital strategy consultancy sold in 2010 to a private equity group, and founder of Radical Company, was voted top five once to watch global digital agency for client effectiveness.
Well, good afternoon, Ian. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be here.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you getting up so early in the morning. I know you were originally from the UK, but you're in Orange County, California. So thank you so much. This is great. So, yeah, we're going to jump into the questions and talk a little bit about you and your career. You've got quite the background in technology, consulting, entrepreneurship, and now you're the managing partner for Hangar 75. Could you share with our audience what drives you and what has contributed to your success?
Yeah, of course, Brian. And it's 5 a.m. here, so hopefully my brain's working well enough that I can give you some good answers. So Hangar 75 has been going around for a little over 20 years now, both here in the US and in Europe and some work in South America. But I would say that the big thing that drives me within my roles across Hangar 75 is surfacing new ideas. That's a really important one of listening to people, understanding what's out there, what we can do differently and evolving those ideas. And then executing against those ideas through design, technology, and bringing the right people together and working with those people. You know, that's the key driver for me, is great ideas, great people, and actually achieving something. I think some of the key things that have contributed to the success at Hangar 75 and my own success in doing this is just that focus on value, creating value, and that being measurable value. So, you know, one of our approaches whenever we start to do things is to, first of all, say, how are we going to measure the impact that we have on things? And when we talk about measurement, we try and make that very tangible in terms of, you know, are we generating revenues? Are we cutting costs? And how do we start to create that value in a very short period of time? So that might be 16 weeks, but being part of a longer journey that stretches over several years. So, you know, contributing to the success is, you know, focusing on the value, but then also applying a bit of energy, enthusiasm into everything that we do, and a bit of a fearless approach. So not being afraid to knock on the doors, not being afraid to try something, to share something. And we found that works really, really well. And that's something that I really enjoy, you know, doing within Hangar 75.
Amazing. Ian, I appreciate your share on that. And again, everybody's story is unique, and this is what's great about sharing your story. So, Ian, we're going to talk about the challenges we've had in the last, you know, 2020 and into 2021. You know, everybody globally has had to make these major shifts to adapt to the new normal. Could you share with us what you're doing to help your organization stay relevant in this economy?
Yeah, sure. And I would say where we are at the moment is definitely not business as usual. I think, you know, it's business as unusual at the moment. So we've, you know, several clients, corporations that look to us to do innovation. And also obviously at Hangar 75, we are building our own ventures all of the time. And COVID, you know, has presented a whole new set of challenges. I think there's still some positives that have come out of it. I'd like to say there are some positives that have emerged, but, you know, as a business trying to make sure that one, we survive through the pandemic, and number two, making sure that we, you know, we thrive, and also making sure that we make the most of the opportunities. So, you know, some of the things that we've found, you know, across our portfolio is we've absolutely had to evolve some of the ventures that we're working on, that we're servicing, to make sure that they are, you know, adapted to the new mindset and the new ground rules in terms of how you set up ventures, how you set them up. You know, some of the ventures that we have may have been very focused upon one-to-one interactions, getting in front of people. So we've had to adapt them into more self-service applications. We've just had to start really getting underneath the skin of our end consumers and our end corporations. So a number of our ventures, we collaborate with corporations. Now, with corporations changing their mindset and saying, actually, we're not focusing on this area anymore. We need to focus on this area that makes our business more adaptable during COVID, then we've had to adapt some of our approaches in that way. I think one of the second big thing that's happened is it has surfaced new opportunities. So when we've been looking at new ideas, when we're generating ideas internally, we're often, you know, looking where the market demand is, looking what the end user need, the problems that we're solving. So, you know, a whole new set of new challenges, user needs have emerged over the last 12 months that people probably wouldn't have thought about. So starting to deconstruct those needs and those challenges, and then thinking about how design, technology, physical product can serve and lean into them to solve those challenges have been, you know, an interesting process to go through. And then I think what we've also done is, you know, maximized opportunity, and where, you know, some benefits have come out of this in terms of the ways in which people are working. So what we're finding is, you know, we're getting things done quicker because people are traveling less, people are behind their computer screens on Zoom. We can get decisions made quicker. You know, it's absolutely helped us so that when we're doing a corporate collaboration or when we're exploring ideas ourselves, we can all jump on a meeting for 10 minutes on Zoom very quickly. We're not worrying about booking a meeting room and making sure there's meeting rooms available. We're actually able to jump on something. And equally, if we want to do something with 50 people because we're testing a proposition, we can do that quickly as well. So there has been some benefits. I'm trying at all times to put a positive spin on everything. And looking forward to this year now, 2021, and making sure that, you know, we do the best that we can and help as many people as we can.
Thank you for sharing, Ian. I know it's been challenging for all of us, but as I've mentioned many times on this podcast, is the silver lining. It's been challenging, obviously, for many reasons. But the silver lining is that we've all shifted, we've adapted, and we've really advanced innovation probably 3 or 4 years just in the last 10, 11 months. So thanks again for sharing. And Ian, you're obviously leveraging some new and emerging tech in your tech stack with your 3D printing. Is there anything you could share with us that's maybe not confidential or non-proprietary?
Yeah, sure. So I think on this, we're referring to one of our ventures that we, you know, launched quite recently called Plybot, which is a new take on 3D printing. And, you know, there's certainly some confidential, some IP things in there, but there's definitely things that we can share. So, you know, 3D printing is Plybot is a prime example of what we're doing and the approach that we take to solving real customer challenges and problems. So what we're trying to do within Plybot is combine great software application experience with great hardware and then wrap that around, you know, end-to-end experience that really connects with people. So, you know, one of the things we try to do within Plybot is recognize that currently people really don't get 3D printing. It's very complicated. It's very messy. And lots of people, if we're trying to focus on children, people at home, and consumers, sort of scratch their head and wonder, why is 3D printing relevant to me? Where would I use it? Where would it come into my life? So Plybot's all about making 3D printing incredibly simple. And the way that we're doing that behind the scenes is actually understanding people and saying, you know, things have to be easy. Have to be super simple. And when you print something, it should be as easy as printing on a piece of paper that I click print and out pops a 3D object. And that object should be something that, you know, you're passionate about. It might be a gaming figure. It might be a dog collar. It could be something for your train set. It could be a handle for a new wardrobe from IKEA. It could be anything. So it's starting to develop those use cases and put that together. And again, within Plybot as well, it highlights the approach that we take in terms of focusing on creating tangible value and measurable value. So, you know, we're 10 days in from our launch of Plybot on Kickstarter, and already we're on a trajectory over our first 12 months that we should be around 3 to 6 million in turnover, which is great market validation for us as we start to expand across the US and internationally. But yeah, a lot of the things that we do within Plybot, again, we collaborate with people in Sweden, in the UK, across the US, and these are software engineers, designers, hardware specialists, to bring together what we believe is a beautiful solution for people. So we're hoping that really takes off. But again, that focus on collaboration means that a lot of the stuff, the IP, the confidential piece, we share with people because we feel that the more people that are involved, the better the solution will be and the faster we can get it to market, which is, you know, one of the biggest and key advantages that we have over others.
Amazing. I appreciate the share on what's exciting is these, when you're launching a new product or platform or And you've got to start raising some funding, and but you're already seeing some success and some demand in the market for it. So I'm very thrilled to see this, and I'll definitely be following along. And Ian, last question. People want to know more about Ian Wilding. Can you share something from your career experience that would be helpful for those looking to grow their career in technology or entrepreneurship?
Yeah, sure. And I think this is probably something that applies across everything, really. And it's something that I feel incredibly strongly about, and that I think is to be passionate about everything that you focus on. Be enthusiastic, be open-minded, listen. You know, do a lot more listening than talking, and learn all the time. And not just learn, but join the dots, think through things when you see things. You know, I've always been one of those people that sits back and thinks about, how does that work? And start unpicking things, even if it's digital, even if it's, you know, any type of business or service or idea. I always like to unpick it and think about it in different ways. But, you know, I think the fundamental thing that's helped me get to where I am and what really I enjoy being and doing is that fearless piece, you know, not being afraid to ask questions, not being afraid to knock on doors, to present ideas. And I think that's really important, because a lot of the younger people, the people coming just out of college, and also the people within college that, you know, we work with and we help to mentor, you know, one of their biggest things is fear, worried about what people think all of the time. So I think if there was one big message I'd push out there is be fearless. Don't worry about what people think. You know, everyone's got feedback. Some people will like what you're doing. Some people won't. But just listen to both perspectives, and then take that information and use it to grow, develop, and do bigger and better things.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing those nuggets of wisdom, Ian. We appreciate it here, and so will our global audience. And Ian, it was a pleasure having you on today. I look forward to speaking with you real soon.
Thanks, Brian. Really enjoyed it.
Bye for now.